Good morning. The church's one foundation certainly is Jesus Christ our Lord. And our desire and aim and goal is to please our Lord, to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we sang about that. True worship, recognizing that with true worship, there is also false worship. We think about the doctrines of men that cause distress to our Lord, which we just sang about. When you think about during this time of the year, you might ask the question, well, why Woodmont Church of Christ doesn't celebrate the birth of Christ? And so when asked that, religious people may say, don't you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Don't you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus? That's what some will say. And they might be surprised to find out, we do believe that the Bible is the Word of God. We do believe Jesus is born of a virgin. Yes, we do believe that He is the Son of God. Why? Because that's what the Bible clearly teaches. And that's what we go by. We go by the Word of God. So, as you think about keeping an open mind on this subject, when you think about continuation of that thought, why don't you remember His birth? why don't you remember His birth? Let's put Christ back in Christmas, some will argue. Well, it's a matter of Bible authority. And what we'll do is a sermon whereby some will just have programs which by ritual just follow. We don't follow concerning the Word of God. And in the sermon, we'll preach and notice what we have partaken of, the Lord's Supper versus Christmas. We want to notice what really, truly Christ, where He belongs in our remembrance. We need to recognize that at the end, that each and every one of us is a very serious and sobering thing. We're all going to be judged by the Word of God. We think about John 12 and verse 48. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So be careful as you think about, well, the preacher is judging me. Well, if he gives his opinion, he's trying to bind something up on you, well, you need to make correction of that. If I fail to teach the truth, but if it is the truth, you need to think about what God says on this subject, on putting Christ where He belongs. And so we hope and pray that it is clear and understandable as we have prayed for that this morning. In comparison on the Lord's Supper in Luke chapter 22, in Luke chapter 22, we have this on the screen. Look in your Bibles too. In Luke chapter 22. When you think about Jesus with His disciples on the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. And this is what Jesus had said about that. In Luke 22 in verse 19, when He had taken some bread and given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Well, it's a command. It's a command that we do. And as we study that with His disciples, that's what they accomplished. Now, I want you to notice concerning Christmas. Do we have Jesus saying anything about that? Does He say anything about His birth? Well, Jesus didn't say anything about a place to remember His birth. He said, well, I know in Luke chapter 2, Matthew chapter 2, it mentions concerning His birth, going back to Matthew 1, verses 18 through 23. But is there a remembrance? Is there a celebration to remember that? We understand it's very unlikely that it happened in the winter when the shepherds would be watching over the flock. It wouldn't be in the cold and the rainy season. Now, some would try to contend that it was, but really, when it comes down to it, it really doesn't matter. The whole thing is Jesus didn't say to remember His birth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul is speaking by inspiration. You remember that he had said he had the commandments of the Lord. The things I'm writing to you are the Lord's commandments. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. And so he says here in verse 23, he said, "For I received from who? I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Notice concerning, he's going to quote exactly what had been given in the Gospels. This is what we have in the account in the Bible. exactly what he was told, and he received this revelation from the Lord. And the command, do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, what do you proclaim? The scripture says, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And I recognize concerning many people don't want to think about death. We need to remember the Lord's death. That's what the Lord wants us to remember. And here, writing to the church at Corinth, he said there in verse 27, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Our minds need to be focused upon that sacrifice. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, if we did the right thing, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. And so clearly, you think about the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle of the Lord. And this command was given to the Corinthian brethren. So the clarity of the scriptures concerning a direct command, and you have a divinely approved example concerning the church at Corinth. But wait a minute, do you have a divine revelation given to the church to celebrate it? No, the church is silent. The scripture is silent on that matter. Well, notice concerning, well, somebody says, well, that was just the Corinthian church. That was just written to the Corinthian church, and so it's only for them. Well, I want you to think about in Acts chapter 20. The Lord had already commanded it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Acts 20 and verse 7. Well, some might think, well, maybe that we should take it on the Sabbath day. And basically, the Jews, they worshipped on the Sabbath, and so maybe that it would continue in the first century also. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 7, the Scripture says, in the first day of the week, when we are gathered together, for what reason? He said to break bread. Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day, and he prolonged this message until midnight. The first day of the week. This is why the church was to obey that command, and thus they obeyed that command on the first day of the week. You remember on the day of Pentecost when the church was established, the Apostle Peter preaches that gospel sermon where about 3,000 people were baptized and saved. In Acts chapter 2, we notice what they had done. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. And whereby some might think, well, what are the apostles teaching? I thought we were supposed to follow Jesus Christ. Well, the apostles were guided into all the truth. John 14, verse 26. John 15, verse 26. John 16, and verse 13. You can look down in those references. You can write them down on your sheet right now. But the apostles were guided into all the truth. And so here they proclaim the word of God, and the Apostle Peter spoke the words of the Spirit, and we notice here in Acts 2, verse 42, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Notice it, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. The church at Jerusalem was practicing these things. And so here we see clear evidence of those in the first century partaking of the Lord's Supper. But what about the record in the scriptures on the church? Where is the divine revelation? So, well, Steve, you're going into great detail concerning, well, why you're going into great detail. I want you to think about what the Lord said and what he commanded us to do. And the whole thing is we want to be pleasing to the Lord, and so this is what we want to put into practice. And so we look at the example of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, as he talks about Timothy, his beloved and faithful child of the Lord, he will remind you of my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Whereby you might have some today whereby here they're going to teach one doctrine, another church teaches another doctrine, and there's this idea of unity and diversity among the denominations. We recognize the Apostle Paul taught the same thing in every church. Well, that would include the Lord's Supper, wouldn't it? In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Good to hear those pages turning. 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 1 and 2. He's going to talk about the collection for the saints here. He said, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. He had given that command to several churches in Galatia, not just one, but those churches in that region. Here, he said, so do you also, here to the church at Corinth. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. I think people understand when you talk about giving on the first day of the week. And most won't pass up concerning, all right, we give on the first day of the week, and here's the command, and yet the Lord's Supper will not be taken on the first day of every week, but maybe once during Christmas, maybe during Easter, or maybe once a month or once a quarter, but not every day. Now, why not? If we're going to do what the Lord has commanded and authorized, and the Apostle Paul taught the same thing in every church. Since there wasn't a command given by the Lord or divinely approved example, when we read in the New Testament, conclude that the Bible doesn't approve of remembering the birth of Christ and Christmas. And if so, where is the scripture that would authorize that? Now, we talk about concerning the first century. Well, what about concerning us today? Now, we talk about faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, verse 17, and hearing by the word of Christ. This is what we need to listen to. Other translations, hearing the word of God. How does God speak to us today? In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. We see in these last days, which has been since Acts chapter 2 talked about the fulfillment, these are the last days. We've been living in the last days since that period of time. God speaks through his Son. And the whole thing is that as a Christian can do these things by faith. This is what we heard from God's word. It isn't a matter here concerning, all right, here we have a creed of man, which they decided, I think that this would be a good thing. I think we ought to remember the Lord's death. And so this is how we're going to decide to do it. No, that's not what we do. We recognize the Lord is a Savior. He died for us. And so we're going to do what he says. Now, can we please God without faith? Can we do that? In Hebrews 11, verse 6 answers that question. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible. Notice it. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of whom? Of those who diligently seek him. If we're going to seek him and do the things that are pleasing in his sight, we've got to do it without faith because we can't please God without faith. So please let me know concerning can a person who celebrates Christmas as the birth of Christ, can they do it by faith? And if so, where? Where is the scripture? It was authorized by men. When we think about the Bible, has things changed since the first thing? Was that God now speaks to his Son? Oh, and now he speaks maybe differently today. No, in Hebrews chapter 13, a couple chapters after that passage we just read, in Hebrews 13 and verse 8, the scripture says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today. You think about the present day when the Hebrew writer is writing by inspiration, and how long? And forever. The Lord doesn't change. He hasn't changed since the first century. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul talks about the church according to its eternal purpose. There's an eternal purpose in the church. Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, earlier in that context. And the Apostle Paul tells the brethren there, we're going to emphasize verse 21, we'll start in verse 20. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. To him be the glory, notice it, in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen. To all generations forever and ever. So when some people say, well, we're just reading somebody else's mail, we need to recognize concerning from the first century on, Jesus is sitting. He died, buried, and rose from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He is alive today. And we think about his word lives on. He is hearing and knowing what is going on, and he knows what's going on in our hearts. And the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, he said, the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Preaching the same word. We can obey the same command to remember his death today. But concerning Christmas, I recognize concerning, you know, different sources in the fourth century, but I think it's pretty clearly established sometime in the fourth century concerning it being established by man and not by God. Well, we need to recognize we have a responsibility. As you think about concerning, well, it's just a tradition of man. And so since it's a tradition that we do, and we've always done it this way, and somebody says, well, I've never heard a lesson saying that we shouldn't celebrate the birth of Christ, and why shouldn't we do it? Well, it gets back to the scripture concerning, it does talk about traditions. But how does it talk about that? In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 15. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions. Hold to the traditions. Oh, see, we aren't to hold to the traditions. What traditions are we to hold on to? Stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught. He's talking to the brethren there, whether by word or by letter from us. Of mouth might have there in italics, as mine does, whether by word or by letter from us. And of course, remember that in the first century, they would have had the spiritual gifts to whereby when they're preaching, the miracles, wonders, and signs confirm the word they're speaking is the truth. Why would they listen to the apostle Paul? Why would they listen to the other apostles? Because here they were able to perform miracles, wonders, and signs in the name of Christ, confirming the word that they're speaking is the truth. And now he said, or by letter from us. Now it is written down. And we are to contend earnestly for what? Hold fast to the traditions you were taught. Hold fast to the faith, which is once for all delivered to the saints. Jude, in that one chapter in verse 3. So these are the traditions that we are to hold fast to. What we have been taught from the Bible, from the Word of God, not from the traditions of men. In Matthew chapter 15, I want you to think about this context here in Matthew chapter 15 and talking about this subject. The Pharisees and scribes, they come to Jesus in Matthew 15 and verse 1, and they say this. Verse 2, why do your disciples break the tradition? Notice it's a tradition here. Break the tradition of the elders, for they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now, when we stop and think about that, we tell, as parents, we tell our children, wash your hands before you eat. Is that a bad thing? No, that's not a bad thing. No, that's a good thing to do. But what are they arguing here? Your disciples are breaking the tradition of the elders, making itself equal with the commandment of God. Jesus answered in verse 3 and said to them, why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And notice how he deals with that. He's going to quote what God says in the God says in the Old Testament here and compare it with what you say. God said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I have that would help you has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or his mother. Basically, you're saying, here, I have the responsibility to give to your parents, but I've already given it to God. And thus, they're, you see, disqualifying that commandment. We don't have to obey that commandment. We've given it to God already. And by this, he said, you have invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. I want you to notice concerning teaching the doctrines of and commandments of men here in this passage. Here we're going to make it a command of men. Even concerning a thing that would be, you can wash your hands, but here it's going to be, you're going to make it a commandment of God. He said, your worship is in vain. But are they worshiping God? Yes, they're worshiping God, but they're hypocrites. They've invalidated the word of God for the sake of their tradition there in that passage. I want you to think about the fact that we hold fast to man's traditions and in spiritual things, what about our worship? This is what the Lord said concerning this. Our worship is in vain because where is the authority? Where is the passage of Scripture which provides that authority for keeping the commandment there? It's a commandment of men. And so, because of what the Bible teaches, we partake of the Lord's Supper how often? On the first day of the week. And first day of the week, not every day of the week. Some might try to do that. Or on a Saturday or on a Friday, but on the first day of every week. I want you to think about concerning Christmas, and here's the great danger. When I was growing up, I was raised in the church, and my parents would let us go to services elsewhere, Christmas service, New Year's Eve service, and all of this. And it was very confusing to me when I think about the Word of God and the great danger that happens when we join ourselves in these things. In 2 John, here's how important it is concerning the doctrine of Christ here. In 2 John, in that one chapter, verse 9, anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ, what does the Apostle John say? The Apostle John says he does not have God, goes too far, goes beyond the doctrine of Christ. He's not abiding in the teaching of Christ. We have to do what the Lord says. He said the one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. We want to do that. We want to abide in the teaching of Christ, don't we? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, what teaching? The doctrine of Christ. He said, did not receive him in your house. Do not bid him Godspeed. I think the King James, New King James, there is concerning give him Godspeed. Bless you in what you're doing. He said, if you do that here, I'm not practicing those things, but here I am having fellowship with them. Verse 11, the one who bids him Godspeed participates in his evil deeds. That's why it's a very thing that we must recognize concerning if our children are going to services and maybe innocently and they don't understand concerning what's going on. Why are we doing this? Why are we practicing it? What does the Lord say about this? We've got to abide in the teaching of Christ or we don't have God's approval. When we think among many denominations that would celebrate the birth of Christ during this time of the year, must recognize some churches of Christ are compromising also. In Ephesians chapter 1, in this context here concerning Christ has been raised to sit at the right hand of God, in verse 21, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Reason I have in the chart, verse 22 and 23, we're emphasizing here. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him his head over what? Over a few things to the church? Some things or most things? No, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Our body responds to what our head says, right? So we can all understand that illustration. We understand that Christ is the head of the church, If we are His body, we have to respond to what He has said and not conform ourselves to this world, right? In chapter 5, in verse 11, the Scripture says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." Here's a line of truth. Here is clearly what we're supposed to do. Here is clearly what is authorized. So we partake of the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week. We're doing what He has commanded. Does that mean that we're earning salvation or something like that? No, we're just doing what is pleasing in His sight. That's what we want to do. But if we are going beyond the doctrine of Christ, we cannot please God in that way. And we're told here in verse 11, instead even expose them by the Word of God. So we're not going to have fellowship with that, and we're going to expose that. As we notice in verse 24, the Scripture saying, as a church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their own husbands and everything. Husband and wife relationship, pattern concerning Christ and the church. Well, the church is to be subject to Christ. I know we don't hear that much today, but a church has to be subject to Christ. And so you think about concerning the departing from the pattern, some churches of Christ are not participating. Maybe they have been for a few years, but have examples of that around about us, just down the road, where some individuals may think that they're going to the Alta Mesa Church of Christ, and they might come here. So it's just down the road from us, Alta Mesa Church of Christ. And on their website, they had a children's musical, Christmas musical, last week. It's still on their website, which they promoted in their worship center last week on their website. Again, concerning you meet some individual like that, well, where is that authorized to practice that? In Dallas, the Preston Road Church of Christ is promoting their annual Christmas Eve service. They have this every year. But do we see a yearly celebration in the Scripture concerning the church being subject to Christ, doing what is authorized? Where is the authorization for that? Say, well, Steve, I think you're judging and condemning them. What are we doing? Exposing the unfruitful works of darkness. This is in accordance with the commandments of man. And this is why we need to learn from the Scriptures and not be conformed to this world. That's what the world is doing. The temptation to compromise might be strong because this is the way the world is going, and people aren't interested, maybe some people say, in the truth. God's Word doesn't change. Let us not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Get back to the Scriptures. Get back to the pattern that we see in the New Testament. Get back to what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. Yes, it might make a lot of people feel good to practice these things. We've always done it this way. But what has the Lord said? We're going to have to give an answer in the judgment day. So what did the Lord command? Commanded that we remember His death and the Lord's Supper. The response of the first century church was that they obeyed it. And they did it on the first day of the week. So therefore, that's why we do it here at Woodmont Church of Christ. We believe, I mean, come and say, well, you don't believe in the virgin birth. You don't believe in the Bible if you don't practice these things. Going back to Matthew chapter 15 concerning that, you're breaking the tradition of the elders. Maybe you're breaking the tradition concerning Christmas, and what right do you have to do that? The Lord has spoken. What would the Lord desire be preached? His Word. And this is going on right that period of time. We know He was born of a virgin in fulfillment of Scripture. The Bible doesn't tell us, though, when He was born. Now, some people might be offended by hearing this. And you know what? The disciples were concerned about that in the first century. The disciples came and said to Jesus, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard the statement?" That statement, "Your worship is in vain, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men." Now, most of the time concerning the demand is that you've got to apologize. Did Jesus apologize for the truth? What did Jesus say? But He answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father did not plant shall be uprooted. Let them alone. There are blind guides of the blind. If a blind man guides a blind man, both will fall into a pit." Heavenly Father didn't put Christ in the celebration of Christmas, did He? It's going to be uprooted in the last day. I want you to think about that seriously and soberly concerning the judgment day being uprooted. The Lord didn't plan it. He didn't want us to remember His birth. He wanted us to remember His death on the cross. And thus we recognize concerning the opportunity that we have to change our mindset, to be converted to Jesus Christ. We're still alive here this very day. The Apostle Peter preaching that first gospel sermon, Acts 2, verse 38. What did he tell them? He asked, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Wasn't just certain people. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. They didn't argue about it. Those who gladly received the message were baptized. We're asking you this morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ and believe He is the Son of God, repent of your sins. Confess your faith that He is the Son of God. Be buried with Christ in baptism that you might rise to walk in the newness of life. If you're subject to heaven's invitation, God calls, we encourage you to come. Right now, as you stand and sing.